After the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome, three women, went to Jesus' tomb to anoint Jesus' body. It was very early. The sun had just risen. And they wondered who would roll away the stone so they could get in. When they got there, the stone was already rolled away. And they went in, and they saw a man dressed in white, and it scared them. And the man told them not to be afraid, that Jesus wasn't there, he had been raised. And the man told them to tell Peter and the rest of the disciples that they would see Jesus in Galilee. And the women ran out in terror and amazement, and they kept their mouths shut. There it is. The accounts of the morning of the resurrection of Jesus from the Gospel of Mark. In the last line of this morning's Easter reading, it is the last line of the Gospel of Mark. I know there's a little bit more. It's in our Bible, but it stops there and says that this is the most reliable manuscripts. Say this. Then there's some more. But it ends right there. They said nothing. No understanding of what had happened. No appearance of Jesus to the disciples. No ascension into heaven. No promise or great commission. The earliest gospel, the most reliable account from the earliest gospel, ends with fear. And then some people added some stuff there that more closely ties it with the other gospels. But this ending, the one without closure, without wrapping things up better. It reflects what the earliest disciples, the earliest followers of Jesus spoke of and wrote down. That was it. They didn't know what really had happened, and they didn't know what any of it meant. And who does the gospel say went out in terror and amazement and said nothing? Who are they? Mary, the mother of James, and Salome.
Women.
Mary, and Salome. They didn't say anything to anyone. Well, at least for a time. If they hadn't said anything to anyone, we wouldn't have any of the story. You know? Question is, how long could you hold news like this? They did say something. And the other Gospels, they're a testament to them saying something. And the story being told over and over again, that's a testament to them saying something. The story finally being written down is a testament to them saying something. But we still have this Gospel, the earliest one, with this ending. Terror and amazement, shaking and bewilderment, trembling and astonishment. People beside themselves with heads spinning. And you let it hang right there. Heads spinning, not knowing. Imagine that's all you've got. That's it. That's the story. So what do you do next? I think that Mark ends this way to spark some conversation. It ends this way to spark conversation about Jesus. And it did spark conversation about Jesus. We're still talking about it. I think it also signifies and tells us that it's okay to be afraid when it comes to following Jesus. It's okay to have lots of questions. It's okay to doubt. It's okay to not get it. The earliest and most reliable Easter account tell us that. It's okay that you don't have it all figured out. It's okay if you're not sure what it's all about. The announcement. He has been raised. He's not here. What did the three women at the tomb wonder? What is it okay to wonder? Did he come back to life? That's what Christianity celebrates, right? Did somebody steal his body? That story still goes on, and they still wondered then. Where is he? They didn't know. They were terrified. They didn't know what happened, and they didn't know what to do. But then there's instructions. go and tell his disciples and Peter. And why single out Peter? Did he do something wrong, do you think? I mean, he did the whole denying part. Or is he better than the rest? In the Gospel of John, he's slower than the rest. He and John run to the tomb after Mary says the tomb is empty, and John gets there first, and Peter comes up, 10, 15, 30 minutes behind. Not that far behind, but he comes way behind. It's funny that the Gospel mentions that there was kind of a race there, and John got there first, and Peter got there after a while. I don't know. Why single out Peter? Well, Jesus called Peter Rocky. On you, Rocky, I'm going to build my church. That's one instruction. Go tell Peter and the other disciples. And then you'll see him in Galilee. That's it? How? Where? How can this be? What is happening? People don't just die and come back to life. Really. This account of the resurrection, it isn't about understanding it. It isn't about having the right theology about it. What is the right theology about it? Who decides what the right theology about it is? It's not even about having the right attitude about it. It's not about not having doubts about it or at being peace about it. This gospel says they were afraid. They didn't say anything. They had terror, bewilderment. Their heads were spinning. But it is about talking about it. I know it says they said nothing, but Jesus is risen. What now? Terror and amazement, shaking, bewilderment, trembling, astonishment, beside yourself, head spinning. Here's what you get to do. Here's what they did get to do, at least after a time. You just got to talk about it. Talk about what you think about it. Talk about what you feel about it. Talk with other people about it. Let the story spread. God loves it when you talk about it. And we can live out the love that the resurrection shows. God loves the whole world. And guess what? We can too. When you came into church today, you got an invitation. Do you know what the invitation was? Do you have an invitation in your hand? I talked about it in the children's sermon. I talked about these crosses. Are there any more crosses that the ushers have? Did you get crosses like that? I just want to hold one up. And if you didn't get a cross, we've got plenty. Ushers, do you want to come through and make sure as many people as possible, whether we had one per family or whatever, just let's see if we can get everyone in the pews with a cross in their hand. Did you get one? Oh, here you got one. I'll get another. I'm going to get another. These crosses, I gave him a hard time for knowing when we started the tradition. But Walter made these crosses this week. Walter makes crosses that we hand out to people in the hospital and people who are ill. He made some for everyone. It's an invitation. What kind of invitation do you think this is? It might be an invitation to say nothing, right? They were afraid. What other kind of invitation could this cross be? Say again? To remember God. Yes, you have a cross in your hand. Drop it and then pick it up. To remember God. Okay, what other kind of invitation can it be? To believe. To remember God, to believe. What other kind of invitation do you think? An invitation to eternal life. To remember that God gives us eternal life. Could it be an invitation to wonder? Yeah? Could it be an invitation to question and doubt? What do you think? They did.
An invitation to love.
Could it be an invitation to love? Yes. What other kind of invitation could it be? If you've got one, and let's say you got two today because we had extras, what could the second one be an invitation to do? To share it. Yeah, you could give it to someone else. What could you do with this cross? You could carry it in your pocket. Reach into your pocket, the cross in your pocket that has been around for a while. You could put it with a magnet on your refrigerator. You could drill a little hole right there, being very careful, and wear it around your neck. It's an invitation to wonder aloud. It's an invitation to have conversations. It's an invitation to not shy away from all that the cross can or does mean. It's an invitation to love. So why don't we take these crosses? I want you to take them home. I want you to do whatever it is that will work for you. But right now, let's take an invitation to love. We can take these crosses. We can put them up, raise them up above our hands like that. And this isn't like a on my honor, but we got the cross up there, and we can remember God. We can wonder. We can know that God gives us eternal life. We can doubt. We can love because of the cross, because of Jesus. We can do something. We can say something. We can live out something. Mary, and Salome, they did something. They said something. Well, even if at first they said nothing. Amen.